Welcome, 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 Chiefs Kingdom, to another episode of The Aftermath. I'm your host tonight, CJ Jones, with my good buddy, my friend. We have a new member of The Aftermath tonight, DG, with my friend Chris, my brother.
Yes, sir.
It is officially week two. We are moving on. Chris Jones has officially cleared. He has landed. He is now officially, well, he started here for the guaranteed season. Now he's going to be playing for us for the guaranteed year. Week two, he is here now. Fellas, first reactions, are we?
Soap opera's over, man. That's all I like.
No more Twitter fingers, Chris.
Oh my gosh, that was the worst part about it. it was felt like I was. It was the NBA, you know, with how he was handling this.
Bro, I'll be there week eight, bro. Right?
Oh man, but good to have Chris back. I'm sure we're gonna talk about where we think he's gonna play, but like. I'm just like, yeah, as great as it is to have the top three defensive player back, the number one relief, I just felt relief that this drama was over, man. Not even going to lie.
DG, what you thinking, bro?
Man, relief, dog. Relief. It was – it's been a long, long, long wait through the whole summer and everything, the back and forth, the Twitter war. Yeah, it's just a massive relief. I'm glad 9-5 is back in the building. We needed him. We need him back for this defense to be dominant. And I really think with him, this defense has a chance to be top 10 in the league. That's the potential I think that they have. So, yeah, I'm happy. I'm just glad he's back. We'll figure out all the other stuff later. Just let's go do this thing this year. Let's worry about now. Like, so I'm glad he's back.
Amen, brother. Amen.
It's just crazy, like, just because he didn't accomplish anything. He got $3.6 million worth of fines, which include everything, is what they said. And they seem to, according to Chris himself, they seem to have worked that back into the contract, even though it's – I don't even want to call it a contract because it's not. It's just we're going to give you your fines back. Maybe take the tag off. Isn't that the rumor swirling around? Like, you can't tag him next year. Like, it's so stupid. It's just the whole thing just –
The rumor that everybody's been saying, well, not even a rumor, the list of clients that the Katz brothers have came out is probably confirmed with this only getting basically the same year extension deal done. It basically confirms that everybody's thoughts that the Katz brothers don't know what they're doing.
They don't.
I'm not trying to talk about anyone because I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not ins and outs of a contract extension. But by what we've seen and all the details we've heard, it looks like these guys are very – What's the best way I should say this, fellas? Ill-equipped to do their job. Let's go with that.
Yeah.
The only reason not to talk my bad, DJ. The only reason not to talk ill will about the Katz brothers right now is you're scared of the mafia. Otherwise, they deserve all
the hate. Are
they Italian? All the hate.
Yeah. Are they really Italian? I didn't know that.
I don't know if they are.
They look like they were at the game, and Chris was like this.
Yeah. Yeah, they were way in over their heads on this deal. I think the advice they were giving him was terrible. If anything, I think they should have advised him to hold in and make that money this year that counts against the cap, so that the Chiefs were forced their hand pretty much, you know. And they didn't do that, and the holdout was just it was pointless. Like now, like because you didn't get anything, especially. If the Chiefs can still franchise tag him, if they can still franchise tag him, they didn't win anything. Like, and that'll be massive leverage still for the Chiefs next year to go into negotiations once again. So, but I mean, if the Chiefs didn't, if there's no tag now, I kind of feel like Veach and them kind of caved in. It was just like, all right, let's get you in here, you know, try to finish this thing off. And we'll shake hands and part ways at the end of the year. Like, it is what it is. I don't know. Hopefully, that's not the case. Hopefully, Chris is still here long term. I'm praying, you know. So, we'll see.
Absolutely. It was definitely a wild week, man. From the Twitter beefs we've been having with him to the taking pictures in the hot tub to the hopping on the plane, coming back and forth, and some people have claimed they've seen him around the city in the last couple of weeks. And Ronald McDonald.
I saw him on the plaza, bro. I saw him at Shake Shack on the plaza.
So he was outside. I saw him at Westport too, bro.
He was getting a number two.
You feel me, number two? from seeing him at the game in the suite, sitting wearing blue colors with his agent next to him, it's been a hell of a 3 months, and me and Chris would definitely be the first one to say we were wrong. I thought the deal was going to be done back in July, right around training camp was active, and for this deal to go on this long on what, September 11th, Monday, we finally got this news going into week two. It's been a crazy week one, to say the least, for the whole NFL, but especially Chiefs Kingdom. We're here now. Like Chris said, we can move forward. It's a new day. Weight lifted all of our shoulders, fellas. Now we can officially talk about week two and what we think about the matchup against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
One last thing. What do y'all think is the final number for the year? Like, what do you think he's – because if it's a revised deal, he was getting 19 and a half.
Yeah, so it's probably – if he added that three mil that he lost, so probably like 25, something around there.
Yeah, that's probably the best bet. I mean,
somewhere around that number, yeah.
Just for the year.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's will be fully guaranteed.
Yeah.
It's a lot of incentive base is what it sounds like. So he probably has to, you know, over 16 games. I don't know.
10 plus sacks, all that good stuff.
Yeah. Make the Pro Bowl play.
He should already be doing snaps. Just keep tweeting out DPOI every 2 weeks. So
man, I got a bet on it too.
Hey, I put one in too. I'm a degenerate.
He actually has to give me my money.
You feel me?
I need my money, Chris.
We can keep this Chris Jones conversation going as we move into the Chiefs Jags preview, because mainly the number one thing about is like, is he going to play? Do we think he's playing this week? Yeah. Is the Chiefs trying to stay up?
For sure.
Andy, even if he gives me 10, 15 snaps, I'm taking it. I don't care. Like, I know what you're trying to set a precedent, and you want to be like, you're not bigger than the team. And I get that. You can have that conversation. But trying to be a big man right now when we're trying to, in the opportunity, and I hate saying this, but there's a chance we could be 0-2, I'm not doing that right now. We had one week one, I'd absolutely would tell them, hey, you don't have to play right this week. But I'm not trying to go down 0-2, Chris. This is not the time to try to make a statement, Andy. Let him play. If you want to limit his snaps, I get that. Tell Spags, cool, but we need him this week, even if it's limited. Because his presence on the field, y'all know, it changes everything. And especially with this offensive line for the Jags, it's not nearly as good as the one we just saw last week for Detroit. So Chris could come in the game rusty and still make an impact. That's how good he is.
Yeah, I definitely think we need him. Like, it's no joke to me. We need him out there. So. My bad, Chris.
Right. And Nico, so. No, you're good. We're still figuring out this three-person deal, so no worries at all. My thing is, like, if Amenihu wasn't suspended, I think he'd be out. You know, if Amenihu was playing in this game against a lesser defensive line, or if the Chiefs beat the Lions, maybe he's still out.
Absolutely.
Being down a body already, being 0-1, being on the road, I think that's the only reason Andy might, you know, let this slide a little bit, be like, all right, maybe you're going to be out there on every third down, but otherwise I would say that he wouldn't be there. But circumstances kind of broke perfectly for the guy, so – hopefully, 9-5's in the backfield introducing himself to old Trevor Lawrence there, who they did get off to a good start. I mean, I know it was the Colts, but, you know, they put up 31 points. When kind of what's your guys' initial thoughts on this Jacksonville team that, you know, their last loss was to this Kansas City Chiefs team last year?
They're dangerous, man. They're dangerous. Yeah. The weapons that they have, and Travis Etienne and Christian Kirk and Zay Jones, and now adding Calvin Ridley to the mix, is what I saw on Sunday was that they're going to be dangerous. It's going to be hard to stop for a lot of people. And you mix in Evan Ingram, you know, seemed like he left New York and now finally became a tight end. they're definitely dangerous. They're definitely a scary matchup. I think we really got our work cut out for us. We got to be ready. We need 9-5 there, at least situationally, to help us out on some of them downs, to, you know, maybe create some pressure and, you know, help these younger guys. Because I think with last game, seeing Karloftis and Uzama, they both flashed to me. So I think if you can add 9-5 back to the mix, absorb some double teams, do things that 9-5 does, it'll free up some of these guys on the edge, and we can really get after these guys.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more, bro. And basically, I was at the sports book this past weekend. I was gambling. I'm sorry, Chris. I'm a degenerate. My bad.
Why are you apologizing to me? I'd be gambling, too.
I'm trying to be a good person. You know, the youth looks up to
us. There ain't nothing wrong with gambling. And hey, I don't think the youth are watching us talk about
it. Illegal now.
have an impact on the community. You feel me? I was watching that game along with other games last Sunday, and it was week one, so I'm not trying to put in too much to stock into it, just like our game as well. But I am going to give the Colts defense a little bit of credit. They did make that game a lot uglier than I thought it would be, especially the Colts lost so much talent on that defense. Like, obviously, they had a guy in Stephon Gilmore that's not there anymore. So you obviously had a corner that could really cover. And Calvin really had a day. I think he had 100 yards off 8 catches off 11 targets. So he didn't look rusty at all for a guy that hasn't played football in a year. So, and then another thing that I thought was very interesting, the Jaguars had 2 fumbles. Trevor Lawrence fumbled and Tank Bigsby fumbled. So that's not pretty. That's not a good trend you want to start your season off with 2 of your main guys who touch the ball almost every other play. Those guys are putting the ball on the turf. That's not a good thing you want to do. So especially what we just saw last week with Trent McDuffie forcing the fumble and definitely starting that trend. Because that's the one thing we've been saying about our defense, right? We want to get more turnovers. We know we can get stops. We know we can get off the field on third down, which we showed, which was very impressive by Spags. But the next step in this, the evolution of this defense is getting the ball back to our offense. Because we know how prolific our offense is. We get extra possessions if we win the time of possession battle. 9 times out of 10, we're probably going to win the football game. So that's the one thing that I thought was very impressive that I saw from the Indianapolis defense. So if we can go in there with that same mentality and get a couple of turnovers, and like DG said, Chris Jones being on the field, if he eats up a double team and gets Georgia one-on-one, maybe he can get a strip sack. Maybe Felix can get a forced fumble, whatever the case may be. That's going to make everyone's job easier. And then, like, to Chris's point, we'll go on the offensive end and pray and keep my fingers crossed if 87's in the building and we have Travis Kelce, our other impact player on the other side of the ball, that makes their job easier. So this is, like, the perfect week to get those guys acclimated and back in the system. I'm hoping that they both play, to Chris's point. But those are some of the tidbits that I saw from the game that we could definitely take advantage of. I expected our offense to be a lot crispier than I thought it was week one, but I think we have a great opportunity to go down there and make some noise because we know we can beat this team. We've done it twice, obviously, like we did last year, but they're going to be hungry. It's hard to beat a team 3 times in a row. We know that from experience. So it's going to be a tough game by any means being on the road, but I think there's some opportunities for us to make some plays for sure.
Right, and the Colts actually had the lead over halfway into the fourth quarter. It was a score by Trevor Lawrence and then a quick pick by Richardson, his first career interception, that turned this game kind of on its head and gave the Jags a 10-point win that is a little bit more deceiving than actually how that game played out. DeForest Buckner was a monster in this game. I don't think he, the stat sheet doesn't show it quite as much, but that dude was in the backfield every play, making havoc. So having a guy like Chris Jones back, even if it's on a snap count, a similar kind of player as far as the disruptive part, I think that's huge. Calvin Ridley does worry me a little bit. I think it's a guy that a lot of people forgot about just because first he was behind Julio Jones and then he was kind of banged up before being suspended for a year. Came in, made an impact right away. Christian Kirk, by the way, got 2 targets the whole game. Barely used. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because Calvin Ridley was out there making plays like he didn't miss a year. So that's a little worrisome. But at the same time, I think the Chiefs' secondaries, especially their corners, are a little better, a lot better than the Colts. So I think they're going to be able to kind of keep him in check. That's who you circle. Not that these other guys can't hurt you. Everyone else on that team did have good years. We know what Zay Jones and Kirk and Ingram did last year. But circle Ridley. Make sure McDuffie, is following him because I think McDuffie's starting to prove himself a little bit in that regard. And take your chances with the other ones. That's kind of what I would do if I was the Chiefs defense.
I could live with that as well. If I'm Spags and I'm coming to this game plan, I would tell Trent. That's what I love about our defense now compared to years past. We only have one corner we can depend on. Mm-hmm. Now, if he wants to have Trent travel, we have that option. If he's comfortable with Snead and Trent staying on opposite sides and letting each one have their turn, I'm comfortable with that as well. So I like having that flexibility in our defense. And the Colts were able to get an interception out of Trevor Lawrence as well, so they turned the ball over 4 times. So turning the ball over 4 times in your first NFL game is not something you want to do. And not trying to say we were perfect by any means, but if KT doesn't drop that ball, do we have any turnovers in the football game on Thursday?
Which ball are you talking about? So, that ball, this ball, every damn ball thrown at him.
Every time we run, and that's ironic, and I said I think I text Chris after the game. The Tyreek play from the Bills game in 2021 when he ran a drag at the home game on Sunday night. He dropped it, it popped off his hands, Poyer caught it, and ran it in for a touchdown. Right. The exact same thing happened with KT. He was just running a drag, popped off his hands, pick 6. I'm like, that, and it's the same end zone. I'm like, bro, that's ironic as hell. It was the same play, same spot, same end zone, same direction. It was like, you couldn't write that script. I'm like, that's hilarious. And that's the first thing I thought of when I saw it. But for the Colts to go, and I know it's a division team, so I know they know those guys very well. But to come into a game week one, that's not a very talented defensive football team. And for them to get four turnovers off of you, that's very concerning, at least from a Jaguar standpoint. So us coming into the game, and we get one turnover off them, I think we can win the game. If we get two or multiple, it may get ugly for them, because that's we know how prolific our offense is. And I'm not trying to disrespect the Jaguar defense by any means, but if it's not for a Juju Smith-Schuster shot to the head for a college game. Sorry, last year, if it's not for an MBS hit that almost took him out of the game as well, that game's not relatively close. And we fumbled that game in that game as well with Isaiah Pacheco. He was on the goal. He was getting in the red zone. He put the ball in turf as well. So
yeah, we
made that first game way harder than it needed to be. And we all know how the playoff game went as well. So our offense is not known for turning the ball over. I don't think their offense is really known for turning the ball over also. But for them to do that week one was definitely – it popped my eyes open to think, if we can get one turn over you, or even if two, and if Trevor Lawrence, your starting quarterback, is the one turn the ball over, that's very concerning to them, at least from my standpoint. So that I'm just hammering that point. And like you said, if Chris Jones can get just one impact play, Chris, that's all I need. I don't need that much, because one turnover can change that whole entire game around, because we know we're both going to score points. We'll get into our predictions later, but Vegas is expecting this game to be high scoring. Right. So one turnover or two can change the whole outlook of this game. So I'm very excited. I'm so happy that 9-5 is back. Just being out there, having your guy, it makes everybody else play better. He brings up the energy for everyone. So I'm super excited for this matchup, and I'm very more comfortable with it now, knowing that Chris Jones could have even a little bit of impact for us.
Yeah, yeah. We need him, bro. That's all I can say. Put him out there on the field, situationally, wherever you need him at. Put him out there third downs. I think he forces this defense to become really dominant. So, yeah.
Yeah, and flipping over, looking a little bit more at the Chiefs' offense versus that Jags' defense, things that the Jags have going for them is they have the best Josh Allen in the league on their D-line. The real Josh Allen plays in Jacksonville.
The real
Josh. You sure he doesn't play in Buffalo? I heard him on TV today. He did something cool.
Hey, you know, that Josh Allen did have more turnovers than sacks, because the Jag Lord. Josh Allen only got 3 sacks, while Buffalo Josh Allen had 4 turnovers. They've been going for it, yeah. But, no, that meant – now, part of it was the play calling, and I think he got – there was a couple designed runs-ish looking that I think Josh Allen got credit for a sack playing against an Anthony Richardson, which isn't the case when you play Mahomes. But that man was still in the backfield a lot, picking up 3 sacks, whether legit or not. Like, he was a first-round pick for a reason. So I'm a little worried about him, especially because the tackles, like – I don't think they played as bad as some Chiefs fans want us to think they did against the Lions, but it still wasn't a great game by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
So going up against the guy, a little bit more polished defensive line that can get after it, does worry me a little bit, just in the sense that it's obviously something on my radar that you got to stop Josh Allen. You cannot let that man get in the backfield all day.
No, absolutely. He was one of those guys on our target list last year. We were talking about a potential trade.
Yeah.
We know how good Josh Allen is. So he's been making plays his entire career. So he's not no stranger to us by any means. We played – this will be our third time playing him. So we've seen him plenty of times. We know how dynamic he is. He can get off the edge. He can definitely make plays. And it's going to be a tough test. I think he usually lines up on from the offensive standpoint, to their right side. So he'll probably see Elijah Juwan Taylor. And also those guys are teammates, so they know each other.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I think Juwan Taylor is probably pretty comfortable with him. So hopefully that pays dividends for us on our side. I also want to ask, do y'all think we need more chip help this week than versus maybe last week? I know that, you know, they kind of left Jerry out the game. So
yeah,
I think there will be more chip this week just because Kelsey's going to play. I think that was a big issue last week. It's like you couldn't really chip. You needed 5 guys running routes because their guys could not get separation. You needed to make sure you had the check down or had those running backs out there. Having that security blanket back in 8-7, even if he is only 80%, I think allows you to keep McKinnon and do a little bit more chipping and that kind of stuff. So. Even if they, regardless if they need it or not, I think they're in a position to where they can this year just because that's what 8-7 brings to the table.
No, absolutely. When you have a dynamic rusher like Josh, you don't want to take any chance with him. And not to say we didn't see him, because Aiden Hutchinson is a dog and he proved it on Thursday as well. But when you give extra guys time and you have 87 out there, it makes everyone's job a lot easier. So And I'm sure there'll be moments when we do have 5-man routes, like Chris said. There'll be moments when we'll chip and have 4-man routes. I expect this week for us fellas to do a lot more screen work. I thought we didn't do that enough. I think we only ran one to Pacheco on Thursday. So I expect to have that incorporated a lot more. Because we know this defense is very aggressive. I think Aluakon, their linebacker, was the only guy who had more tackles than Nick Bolton last year. He's over the top two guys in the league. So he flies around to the ball a lot. He's a very good tackler. And I think those guys can be very aggressive to get after us. Maybe they see that film and say, maybe we can get after these guys with some maybe exotic blitzes. And if they take advantage of that, we could dump some screens over their head and get underneath them and get some first down. So, you know, once you start throwing screens, it kind of gets the defense off balance. Do we want to be aggressive? Do we want to play back? It kind of, once you get them on their toes and you're putting the pressure on them, then you can start getting your rhythm. And Andy Reid will start, I call him screen game Andy, once he starts throwing multiple screens in a series. So I expect to see a lot of that this week and us to get fully back in rhythm. The drops will be cleaned up. You know, Pat will get back to doing his normal read. So it should be a way much smoother operation offensively after that, especially when you got 10 days off to look at it, to think about it. And you just saw what these boys up in Buffalo, New York just did tonight. It lets you know, hey, you just there's a lot of other teams that are looking way worse than us. So we didn't look too bad.
For real, like when the Chiefs lose and you can see that the Bengals lost, the Chargers lost, the Bills lost, you know, the Jets probably lost Aaron Rodgers, which is not something we're rooting for, but it does benefit the Chiefs. Like a lot of things. Lamar didn't look very good in the pass, right? Like, I know they won handily, but you know, the Ravens didn't look impressive. Like
injuries too.
Steelers got blown out. What?
I was saying the injuries for the Ravens piling up.
Oh, yeah, J.K. Yeah. Marcus Williams. Pile up for that, man. That poor team. But you're going to lose a week one. I mean, everything that kind of needed to happen broke for the Chiefs. So hoping that kind of continues, they're able to bounce back. One thing we haven't talked about, I still want, is the receiving core. Like, we do think Travis is going to play. We don't need to go and harp on how important Travis is. Everyone knows. But you still need Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore to bounce back and actually be options. Or is it mental, or where are we at? Where you guys think we're at with this week? We'll start with you, DG.
I think a lot of it is mental. I think for Kadarius's standpoint, a lot of it was just the lack of reps, you know, not being here for preseason. And then to me, I kind of feel like he's maybe still a little hurt. Not in the sense of like where he needs to sit out, but just trying to come back from an injury like that, especially when we know how dynamic Kadarius is in open field. I just think maybe he doesn't have that same burst, you know, right now. And he, you know, hopefully as the season goes on, he can pick that up or whatever. But I think a lot of it's just mental. That's why I'd be hard pressed if they didn't come out, you know, the first couple plays and got the ball in his hands to kind of build some confidence. Get him back going, and I would love to see that, especially with him and Sky. So I think of a lot of it's just mental. They can clean that up, and I think they'll be ready this week.
No, absolutely. I agree. I think KT's standpoint was just rust. And Andy even said it in his presser today, I kind of put him in a bad spot because
– You think? You think?
You don't want to go out there and, you know, basketball and other sports, you can kind of get away with being rusty, but football is definitely the sport you don't want to – it's all about execution, so – one wrong step, one not look with your eyes, not concentrate on the football, can drop and can learn and turn into 6 points for another team. And that's the difference in us winning and losing the game, essentially. And I don't like to put a player or one play on a football game, but if that ball hits the ground or it's not tipped up or he catches it, we're not having this conversation about the Chiefs losing that game. So I think his situation was definitely more just getting back in the rhythm of playing football. And unfortunately, his first live action just had to come on a Thursday night game on national television. So we all had to see it for the first time as a family. But Sky Moore's situation, Chris, I think it's more so him and Pat got to figure out this connection they're supposed to be having, because the clips that I saw, Sky Moore was open multiple times. And there were some times when Pat was a little hesitant. And I know people don't like to be critical of him, but I respect 15. I think he's the best in the world. I think we all would agree with that. But I'm going to be honest about what I saw on film. There were multiple times when Sky Moore was open and Pat didn't throw it to him. He hesitated. He had him in the first read, second read. He double pumped Pat and then went to his next read. I'm like, well, if he's open, you got to throw the ball. I know you may have a little hesitancy about getting him the football. Maybe you didn't have enough confidence to make the throw. You got to make the throw if the sky's open. And I know he can make the plays because I've seen him do it in years past. I know it hasn't been on a consistent basis, but I've seen Sky make plays in his offense, and Pat has as well. So, and I'm sure nobody's critiquing himself harder than him and Andy anyway. So that's why I didn't really need to harp on it too much from the conversation we've had this week in our chats and everything, I know this offense, and I know what these guys do when they have a bad game. They usually respond very, very well. When they get disrespected or they don't play well and the media starts talking, they usually tend to come back and have a great bounce back game. So we all saw the Tampa Bay game. We took after the loss, we came back, responded flawlessly. We all saw how we responded back to the Bengals after losing to them three straight times. When this team hits adversity, we know how they act. We know how they usually hit the wall. So we usually don't back down from a challenge at all. So that's why I haven't been worried not one bit this week how we will respond, because I know what kind of pedigree we have in this locker room. So I'm super excited.
And pissed off. And pissed off.
Pissed off Andy and pissed off at my own. It's going to be a very fun sight.
Hey, and it's his birthday, too.
Right.
Oh man,
but I kind of fall in line with you guys too on the receiver stuff. Like Kadarius Toney, he only had like 16 plays and was still getting open and targets. Like, yeah, the results were as abysmal as you could be, but like he was getting open. Not as worried about him. Am a little worried about Sky Moore, and I know what you're saying, like that there were some routes that he was open and Pat just didn't give him the ball, but I have no data to back this up. This is all just visual. Doesn't there just seem to be something a little off with the way kind of Sky moves out there? Like the some of the way his routes, like it doesn't give me a lot of confidence when I'm watching him. It's all feel, and it may just be me. But sometimes just his movements it doesn't remind me of anybody else I've seen in the slot before.
And like Chris, when I was watching the game, Chris, most of his reps were outside.
Yeah.
When they were 11 personnel. All the slot reps were going to KT and Rasheed.
Right. And it's
like Richie. And I don't mind them guys being in the slot, but I'm like, Sky Moore is supposed to be the next coming of the guy that's going to carry his offense if need be. At least give him a couple reps in the slot. You can't put him outside when we went 11 personnel. 5'10".
You can't put a 5'10 guy outside.
He can do it at times. I'm okay with that, Chris, but he should not be playing exclusively outside. That's supposed to be MBS's job.
Yeah.
Or let Justin Ross come in there and do that. That's not Sky Moore's job. So why is he playing? So, of course, naturally, the slot guys get more attention or get easier reads because you're close to the ball. Mm-hmm. Just like Trav, he's inside the ball. When you're close to the tackle, it's easier for the quarterback to read you and what the defense is doing. When you're playing outside, it's easier to bracket you. So Sky was almost low-key like a decoy most of half the game. And then when he did run a dig on that one play, Pat double pump and then throw it. And I'm like, bro, he's wide open. I don't know what more you want Sky to do. He can't do a backflip out there. So I'm just like, and it's funny because like the play where he threw, I think it was that fourth quarter on the 4th and 20, he was trying to throw that deep over shot. I think it was Rasheed. And Sky was wide open backside on the dig. And I'll post a clip on our page after we post the show. He's wide open. So there's been multiple plays where him and Sky weren't on the same page, and Sky may have been a little bit off and didn't sit in the zone, and maybe he wanted to throw it inside, so he caught it outside. And I get they got to get that connection down, but there were multiple plays where Sky's wide open and Pat didn't even look at him. And that's the frustrating part for me, because I know how good Pat is, and I know he goes through his progressions. So if you see a guy wide open, you're throwing the ball to rookies, Rasheed Rice, in the end zone. So you can't tell me you don't trust him. You've been with this guy a whole year, and he caught a pass in the Super Bowl when you ran the wrong play. So you can't tell me you don't want to trust him to catch a ball when you threw it to him in the biggest game of your career. So I know these guys can make plays, and I know Sky's open, and I know Pat's capable of making the throws. They just have to go out there and do it. Now, unfortunately, nothing I say will make Chiefs Kingdom feel better. They're going to be frustrated regardless. It don't matter. What I'm saying right now is gibberish, going in one ear out the other. They don't care. They just want to see it. And I get it. Show me state. They want to see proof and evidence, Chris. I'm all for that. But we do have to be honest. If the quarterback makes mistakes, Pat is human. He makes mistakes. Did the receivers make mistakes? You're absolutely right. They made a lot of them. I just want to hold everyone accountable and hold everyone to the same standard so we can be honest about these conversations that we're having. That's the only thing I want to do, fellas.
From your mouth to God's ears.
Twitter is hell. It felt like DG was about to like chime in like three times, but you just kept taking the words right out of his mouth as you. He was like, all right, I got nothing left, CJ.
Bro, Chiefs Twitter is never satisfied. So, you know, from your mouth to God's ears. Like,
we can't lose a game on Chiefs Twitter. Ever. Like, we're not allowed to lose.
Ever.
If we lose a game, the season's over to them. That's what they think.
Not at all.
It's just wild. That's the standard, though. That's how good we are. I like it on this side, bro. We weren't having these conversations 10 years ago if Twitter would have been popping back then. But
right.
The way life is now in 2023, y'all remember the season where a receiver didn't catch a touchdown? I'm not complaining about receivers, bro. I've seen it all. I've seen the worst of the worst. I've seen it all. So why would I complain about a couple drops? Okay,
you bring it up such bad memories. So,
yeah. Expectations a little different, CJ, but you know.
That's why I tell people. Chris,
that's like Chris, saying I saw him go 2-14, and like you know, so who cares?
I saw that too, and we went 15-2.
It's a little different when you're when you only got a limited amount of time with 15 back there. You're trying to capitalize as much as possible and throwing this hodgepodge of young guys out there. There's reason for concern. Like I don't think it's as big of a deal, obviously, as Twitter makes it, because Twitter is just the most annoying, dramatic thing ever. But there are some real concerns.
Love you, Chiefs Twitter.
About. Yeah. Nah, I ain't lying to nobody. I don't Chris, I'll be a part of it. I'll be a part of it, but I don't love it. Like last thing before we get to our game predictions, I want to go, who's your guys' X factor? And I'm not, take out the big three, even though I think we could make an exception for Kelce and Chris Jones this week. We're taking them out. Take the big three out. Who's kind of the guy that your X factor in this game?
Mine would be Mike Dana had a lot of pressures on Thursday night against the Detroit Lions, and that's without Chris Jones playing next to him. So if you're coming to this game, he's getting that mojo and that feeling, that rhythm that he had at the end of the season. And that was one of my biggest concerns. Can he continue that trend when people know your name and know who you are now? For him to go out there and create a lot of pressures against a top three O-line in the NFL for the first game of the year, he played very well. It exceeded my expectations for the beginning of the season. But I expected those guys to struggle until Chris got back. And for those guys to go out there and allow two touchdowns for the entire game with no Chris Jones was – and I know we had a conversation today, Chris. Some people tried to downplay it and say it's the Lions. I'm like, well, all week you were telling me the Lions could score, and now you're saying it was just the Lions. So which one is it? Is their O-line good or is their O-line not good? You can't tell me they're elite last year, and now they're like, oh, well, it's just the Lions. I'm like, no, that's a very good O-line, and our D-line played very well. Shout out to Felix. Shout out to George. Shout out to Mike Dana, the whole crew, Turk, all of them. So for them to play that well in that big a moment against that O-line who doesn't really give up pressures, and now you can get your leader back, I am super – and then we got Charles Omenihu coming very soon, week 7. I'm super excited what this D-line group is going to be able to do. So my X factor is definitely Mike Dana. So if we get a couple sacks on Trevor and get him some third and long, we can get some turnovers, that'll help us win the game for sure.
Yeah, I would definitely say mine is probably going to be Kadarius Toney. I think – We need to see how you handle adversity, man. How do you bounce back from everything that happened last week, last game, the drops? I need to see, you know, how do you handle that and how you approach that. So I think as long as he can go out there and forget all that and think of that as the past, I think it's going to be very beneficial for us having a weapon like him, especially next to Trav and Pat and now adding in Sky and yes. And so I think if Kadarius can go out there and right his wrongs, he can be a huge X factor.
Be back in
for us. Yeah. Yeah. Back home too. So
right.
Right.
Yeah.
I love both of those. I mean, I think that's real for sure. I'm going a little different. I'm going Drew Tranquil just because Evan Engram is such a threat and so athletic, and also we know the Jags are going to want to throw the ball. Like, yeah, they like to get AD in between the tackles, but with this kind of offense going back and forth, I think they're going to be throwing a little bit more. You know, Nick is great when you have a kind of a balanced offense, like against the Lions, you need him in there against the David Montgomerys of the world. But I think we see Bolt snaps go down a little bit and Tranquil out there a little bit more. And I think if he has a good day in pass, bro, like, or in pass coverage, like, Could be big. Make a couple plays and kind of really finally get introduced to this third linebacker that I think is going to have a nice little impact on this team.
Oh, absolutely. This is why we signed him for games like this, because Jahmyr Gibbs had a decent game but not a crazy impact like I thought he would. Right. That was mainly because we brought in Drew Tranquil to help us in coverage. So when you're playing ETN, one of the better dual threat running backs in the league, Drew Tranquil saw him in the playoffs. They watched film on him all week, so he knows exactly what ETN is capable of. Mm-hmm. So this matchup is perfectly built for him. So, and we said it all summer, that was probably one of the most underrated signings, not just for us, across the whole NFL. Having a linebacker who's great in coverage is invaluable, because a lot of teams don't even have one. We have two of them with him and Willie. So I love that pickup. This is a great week for him. He should have a big week. His snaps will be vastly increased this week compared to Thursday.
I think so, too.
Absolutely.
All right, time to get to the final part, game predictions. DJ, let's start with you. Or you want to go last? You want to go last since you're new?
I'll go last.
Yeah, let's make him last. All right, CJ. I haven't gone first yet on anything, so I'm gonna stick this off. I think some points are scored. I don't think it goes crazy. I think the 51 is actually perfect, so like that's what I'm predicting it to be. I'm going 27-24 Chiefs. I think it's me a good back-and-forth game. I think there's still going to be a little rust on the offense a little bit just because bringing 8-7 back in, he won't be 100% and whatnot. The tackles are going to get challenged again, but I do think the Chiefs do avoid going 0-2, get to 1-1, and win a nice balanced game.
I think the Chiefs come back, have a bounce back game on offense. I'm expecting a masterclass on offense because I know how Andy Reid and Pat is when they come off a bad game. They usually come out fast, physical, and they're usually pissed off. So, and it's Pat's birthday, like DG told me. I love that tidbit information. I'm definitely going to take that information when I put down my prop bets. I'm going to start posting these for everyone too, so I'm going to help everyone make some money. But my score prediction for this week, Chiefs 30, Jaguars 27. I think the over hits, and I think we cover the 3. They got us -3 right now. So the over, and I think we cover. Barely, but we cover.
All right. 30 burger. Love it.
Yeah. Yeah. My prediction would be, I think it's 31-26 Chiefs. And I think Trent McDuffie has a game-sealing interception.
If Trent get a pick.
I think Trevor and them try to get the ball back, go down the field, and I think our defense finishes it off. I think they prove why Chris Jones should be back and what this defense can really do. And they give a preview of that. So 31-26 Chiefs. Oh, and Pat throws 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Lockety.
What we got boy. Predictions on who? Or I 8-7 gun coming in and getting the 3 daddy game.
One to KT.
Uh-huh. Love it.
One to Trav. The other to Justin Watson.
Ooh, okay.
I'll say one to MBS, one to Trav, and Jet McKinnon gets one.
I'm saying all 3 to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. No, I'm just
kidding. Let's go. Go for it just because Chris had to watch me.
Right.
He's probably going to get one, man. The fact that he started the game last week.
Hey, just
week,
put like $10 on it, CJ.
Right?
I did it last week, bro. I put a 10 on him to get 2 because I'm like, he's going to do it, man. He's done it 3 times in his career. So.
Right. Man, that's the next drama I'm ready to end. I know it's not, the drama's not too high on it, but like I'm ready to just be done with that, man. Like. The fact that Chiefs keep trying to – we don't need to get into it. I could spend another 40 minutes talking about that, man. We can wrap it up. Oh, man. DJ, how would like to – I keep saying Jay. I'm sorry. I'm
not you good. You know,
I know. Man, I apologize, man. How we like to end these is we usually like just tell people where you can find all these hot Twitter takes that we like to fire off.
Or you can follow me @_ keep it prolific. I do music spaces from time to time on there. DJ a little bit on there. So, you know, follow me on there. Sports After Dark as well. And wherever CJ is, I'm right there being a degenerate gambler. So, you know.
We make money, though. We're up like 4 years. So we make money, though.
You're right.
You guys can definitely follow me on Twitter @CGZ81. Like it says on the screen, CJEEZY81. If you guys want to talk gambling, props, if you want to talk fantasy, X's and O's, predictions, if you want to vent, I'm a great listener. I've been told that a lot by many people. Chris yells at me all the time. DG yells at me all the time. And I just sit there and I'm like, yeah, I agree.
Especially about the Chiefs.
You're completely right. I'm like a therapist for the Chiefs. They can really hire me if they really wanted to, but I'd rather do football stuff. But I'm great at both of those. So, hey, Mark Donovan, you know, Mr. Hunt, if you need anybody, I'm available, you know, this fan. But y'all know where I'm at. I'm definitely going to be outside. If you guys want to watch the game together, hit me up. I'm going to be outside watching the game this weekend. I'm probably at the sports book, whatever. But I'm super excited for this week. I can't wait for Sunday. Football is back. We're in the rhythm of, like, Saturday college, Sunday NFL, Monday NFL, Thursday NFL. This is the best time of my life in the career of my life. I love watching football this time of year. I love doing all this with my friends. I love talking to Chris. Me and DG talk every day. So my life is complete. I'm back in my routine. I'm back in my element now. So I couldn't imagine my life without doing this little scheduling I have during the week. So other than like 8 months during the year doesn't even compare to this right here. I'm excited to be back, bro. I can't wait, bro. I love you.
We're taking the degenerate levels to a new level this week on the pod, so I love that. No, but make sure to follow me on Twitter at JenPenny88. Always probably complain about the quarterback sneak. I'll go all game, not tweet a dang thing, and then when the play comes up, I'll strike and make it known. But also, if you're still listening to this on Spotify or any other audio app, make sure to check us out on YouTube at the Kansas City Sports Authority. They also do a lot of great KU work. I'm sure half of you hate that, but you know, it's you don't have to watch that. That's just where we're at with our chief stuff. So just, you can ignore the rock chalk stuff and just go aftermath. So please give that a like and follow. Really appreciate it. But again, thank you so much for joining us today, DG. It was a lot of fun, a lot of good insight there. And that's what's going to do it for us this week. We'll talk to you next time. Okay.